How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim, and I am recording live from HR Transform 2024 at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas, and we are going to be busting some myths. So to help us do that, we have Kate, the Chief People Officer at Bill, joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Jim.
Thanks for hanging out with us, and I'm looking forward to what myth you're going to help us bust. But before we get going on that, what I'd like you to do is share with us a little bit more about your story, your background, and even what you're doing at Built.
Awesome. I'd love to. So I'm Kate Manahan. I'm currently the Chief People Officer at Built. And I'll talk about Built in a minute. But prior to Built, I was at a finance firm for about 15 years and actually just got involved in people in HR in 2016. Before that, I was a strategic program manager. And finally married that strategy with a content that I love, which is people and developing people and helping them find their career path. So I joined Built about a year and 9 months ago. So Built is a software platform that connects lenders, owners, and contractors in the construction and real estate space. And so we work on streamlining financial transactions, increasing efficiency and transparency with how money moves. We're about 300 people based in Nashville, Tennessee. And as of right now, we've got about $250 billion on the platform, which represents about 10% of all of the spend in the construction space. It's really awesome. And I've been the Chief People Officer there since I joined, started as VP of People and am now our Chief People Officer. And it's wonderful. I've got about a 15-person team responsible for all talent acquisition, development, retention, and I oversee our legal team as well.
There's a couple of things that caught my attention in your answer. You spent some time or you grew up in finance and then you have some program management experience.
Yep.
One of the things that I'm curious about is how did those two experiences shape your overall view and philosophy when it comes to talent strategy?
I love that. I love that question because I think that it was actually a core thing in how I approach people, meaning people, initiatives, and strategy should be as intricate and complex as your business strategy. And you need to approach it like any other business opportunity or business problem. And so thinking about things as a holistic program and having the right toolkit to say, how am I going to frame this from objective to solution and how am I going to put a plan around it needs to have the same level of rigor as any other large scale program that you did.
The other thing that I was curious about, and it's more Built specific, you have an emphasis in terms of the niche that you operate in, which is construction and industrial.
Yep.
What's the story behind that? Because I often find that sector from a tech perspective is underserved.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. So construction is actually the second least digitized industry next to agriculture. So the opportunity set is huge. And actually how our company started, so our current CEO and founder, Chase Gilbert, about 10 years ago came up with the idea of Built. And it's he and his buddy were working on real estate and acquiring real estate. And they realized how archaic the methods were to actually move money through the systems and saw that as an opportunity and said, wow, I think there's something here, and just went after it. And at the time, I think they had no idea what they were getting themselves into in terms of really how complex it is, but it's fascinating stuff.
I wish this was longer form. I got a great follow-up. So you ready to bust some myths?
I'm ready.
All week we've been talking with executives and senior leaders in HR about the myths about leadership in HR that just really annoy the hell out of me. So what's the myth that you wish would just die?
The myth that I wish would die is that HR is only there for policy and problem. And for me, it's like I ideally spend 5% of my time on that and 95% of my time on the more proactive strategic sides of HR. We are here as people to work on our most important asset as a company, and that's the people. Talent is the accelerator. No matter how good your strategy is, no matter how good your product is, you're only as good as your people and your culture. And so really taking HR and people from a proactive lens versus we're just here when somebody does something wrong or to put policy in place. I don't want to be red tape. I want to be actually an enabler and an accelerant of people.
That's a really good point. And I'm going to throw something at you, which I think I'd be curious to get your input on. There's a saying in politics that you get the government that you deserve. I think that could be applied to HR within an organization as well. you get the HR organization you deserve, and that sits solely at the feet of CEOs. Mm-hmm. The CEOs often define what HR can and can't do.
It's a great point.
So if we're talking about shifting the narrative about what HR actually is, what its purpose is, what's your advice to CEOs so that they can actually allow HR to function in a way that is more people-centric versus compliance?
I love that, because I think it is such an important thing. And I would say there's probably two things. One is, as a CEO, you have to be thinking about people and culture as a competitive advantage. That is one of your competitive advantages as an organization. And if you treat it as such, then you treat your CPO or head of people in the same way. My second piece of advice would be, have your people person at the table, not just for people-related topics or people-related conversation. I am fortunate that my CEO, I have a seat at any table that I want to be at, any and all the tables, and I sit on our executive team. And of course, I wear my hat as head of people, but I also wear my hat as a partner and collaborator on how we're driving forward the business. And having people and culture represented in all of those rooms, no matter what the topic is, are we going to acquire this company or what's our next year strategy, is so critical to actually make people a strategic function and not a kind of reactive compliance-based one.
I really like your point about executives and CEOs in particular need to rethink or at least reframe how they view people as a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense from a strategic perspective. I'm curious how you bridge the gap between that mindset and the mindset that exists with a lot of organizations where executives are brought up under the Jack Welch School of Business, where the number one responsibility is maximizing shareholder value. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is that whenever you need to satisfy shareholders, you're seeing mass layoffs and all that sort of stuff. So how do you bridge the gap between what seems two polar opposite perspectives?
I actually think those things are way more reconciled. And I don't think it's mutually exclusive, where if you have a highly strategic people person, they're thinking about all those things. They're thinking about how to maximize shareholder value by having the most efficient org structures, for example. How do we construct an org, and what does that look like, and what are the right roles? And how do I get the best talent in those roles so that the ROI on my people is absolutely as high as it can be? You don't want bloat. You're not like having people person just to hire people is not the key. It's being highly strategic about how you use people as an asset to accelerate your business strategy.
I love how you called out the word bloat, because it triggered some of the narratives that came out of big tech, where like, oh, we overhired when it was the era of free money, so now we have to ruin a bunch of people's lives. So that perspective was really interesting, how you brought that out. And I appreciate you sharing your input on it. So I know that we could talk about this stuff a lot longer than we have, but if people want to continue the conversation with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn, or you can reach out to me on email. It's kate.manahan@getbuilt.com.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Kate, and helping us bust another myth. Stay tuned for more conversations. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time, where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.